Ready.
Okay, let me get my wording here. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, June 12th, 2024. Call to order at 12:03 p.m. Could we have roll call, please?
Alice Ndaghi? Andrew Christopher?
Here.
Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Courtney Mark?
Here.
Jeff Elwan?
Here.
Ellen Erickson? Jan Mulder? JJ Lamb?
Here.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Lisa Goley? Pam Scoville?
Here.
Kathy Kubish? Peter Spear? Ricky Riojas?
Here.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Steve Grady?
Here. And Kathy Kubish just unmuted to say here.
Okay.
I'm just unmuted. Thank you. Just found the button.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
Kim Hagar?
Here.
Okay. Carla, I think Jan Mulder, I saw her. Jan, are you here? Can you unmute and say here. You're here?
I'm here.
Okay. Thank you. So how many does that give you? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14? Is that what you have?
Yes, 14.
Yeah, and then let's watch for those others to join us, make it in, okay? All right, thank you. Let's move on then to item 2, which is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 5/8/24. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted?
This is Ricky. I motion to approve as submitted.
Thank you. Is there a second?
This is Kathy.
Andrew, a second.
I move to second.
Okay, well, we'll have Kathy then. Is there any discussion? Okay, if there's no discussion, I think, did Peter just join? Peter, did you just join? I see a phone number there. Who is at the phone number? That ends in 06. I don't know. Can you guys tell at your end, Carla and Anna?
I don't recognize that number.
Well, whoever it is got on at 12:06, so it might be Peter. So,
I'll note it.
Okay, we'll just see if they'll speak up at some point. All right, I'm sorry, folks. So it's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from May 8th. Could we go ahead and do a roll call vote, please?
Terry, I think that was Jeff Elwan. That number lit up when he said he was here.
Okay. Jeff, yep. Is that you?
Yeah, I'm on the phone. I'm on the phone.
Oh, okay. So it's Jeff. All right. So Jeff, you may want to mute if you can figure, is it *6 to mute, Carla?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'll try and mute. I'll try and mute. Here we go.
And then to unmute is *6 again, I think.
Okay. Yes, *6.
Okay, go ahead and please call roll then on item 2.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Mark?
Aye.
Jeff Elwand?
Aye.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Julie Rigoli? Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Peter Spear? Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Steve Brady?
Aye.
Karen Wojcicki?
Aye.
Tim Hagyard?
Aye.
I
have 14, but I do see Julia Rigoli. I think she...
Oh, hi, Julie. Did you... you need to unmute, hon. They'll help her unmute.
Did I unmute?
There you are. Yeah. Did you want to vote aye then on that motion to approve last month's minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And you great. Can see me, right?
I can see you fine. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
No worries.
I have 15, so passes 15-0.
Great. So we'll put Julie came in at 12:09. Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to item 3, which is the chairperson's summary of current events. The first thing I wanted to do is introduce our new commissioner, Courtney Marks. Vice Mayor Dahl from Ward 3 just appointed Courtney, and I had a very nice conversation with her. And I just wanted Courtney to introduce herself, if you would unmute, and just tell us a little bit about your interest and why you became a commissioner.
Thank you, Terry. Hello, everybody. My name's Courtney Marks. I've been a Tucson resident for about 6 years. I joined the Historical Commission because it's an area of interest. It's something that I've kind of grown up around, but I also just wanted to put my hand in to support our community's development while preserving Tucson's rich history. I believe Tucson has a very rich history, and I just want to be a part of that.
Well, great, and welcome, Courtney. And commissioners, when Courtney and I spoke, I suggested that she participate in meetings, listen to what the subcommittees do, and then as she learns more about what we do, then to express her interest in getting involved in commission activities. So if when we get to see Courtney in person, please do welcome her warmly. So thank you very much, and I think that's my only item for item three. Okay, so item 4 is recently posted subcommittee LARs and minutes. As I mentioned, every meeting you can go to that link and look and see what's posted. Again, remember that legal action reports go in when minutes come in, which are barely, you know, once an LAR is approved, then the minutes are posted in lieu of the LAR. And let me know if you have any questions about those. Okay, item 5. Is recent removal appointments to commission subcommittees. I need to do some housekeeping on the events subcommittee. It previously had additional members who have now left the commission because they've timed out or whatever reason. So I need to have a motion to verify that the event subcommittee has Terry, Ricky, and JJ as formal members, but others such as Tim Haggard, Kathy, if you want to participate, you just join our meetings as a guest, because we've lately had so many subcommittee meetings and a real difficult time scheduling them with the large membership and the quorum requirements. So this way we would be able to do our business. Other commissioners could attend as guests. So please, I need a motion to have Terry, Ricky Riojas, and J.J. Lamb as members of the event subcommittee. Will someone move that motion, please?
This is Steve.
Somebody?
I'll move that motion.
I so move.
Okay, wait. I think Steve mentioned first. Okay, who will second?
This is Ricky. I'll second.
I will put Ricky because I could hear. Could everyone adjust their sound because I'm having trouble hearing some of you? So, okay, it's been moved and seconded that these folks are appointed to that subcommittee. Could we call roll, please, quickly?
Yes. Andrew Christopher? Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Jeff Elwand?
Jeff?
Aye.
Jeffrey? Oh, great. Thank you.
Jan Mulder?
Aye.
Jay Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Yeah, thank you.
Peter Sear?
Aye.
Ricky Riojas?
Aye.
Susanna McGill?
Aye.
Steve Bakey?
Aye.
Harry Majewski?
Aye.
And Tim Hagyard?
Aye.
What time, Peter, did you join?
I've been in and out. I've been losing power out here about 5 minutes ago.
Okay, so let's put Peter down at 12:10, if that's all right, Carla and Anna.
That's fine.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And Sherry, I wasn't called. My name wasn't called.
Oh, it wasn't? Yeah, so Julie, do you say aye on that motion?
Aye. Yes.
Perfect. So,
motion
passes 6-0.
You 16, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. For some reason, the audio is not great today. Okay, let's move on to item 6, reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. Let's start with 6A, which is City of Tucson, and that would be Jody Brown.
Good afternoon, everybody. I just have a few things to update you on. I sent out, or I had Carla send out, a notice that we received from the Arizona Archives, and Terry requested that I repeat this. They sent out a notice that October 2024 is Arizona Archives Month, and they are looking for putting together a poster, and they're looking for photos that you guys may have on natural and man-made disasters in Arizona so they can help put this together. They have a submission deadline of July 12th. So if anybody has photos, fires, floods, you know, somebody driving into a wash that's flooded, I don't know. They're just looking for these photos so they can use them, and they would greatly appreciate your help. Moving on to other items, on June 18th, the mayor and council is scheduled to have a study session to initiate and address the ADU requirements that recently came about by that were signed into law by Governor Hobbs. They're just initiating this, and we'll have some discussion likely, and staff will start working on that. I expect that we will, at a later date, once staff figures out, have a presentation for PRS and potentially a commission. It was something that we've already discussed to some extent. Also, on June 18th, during their regular session, they, at Mayor and Council, Rincon Heights and Pi Allen will be going, hopefully for the final step, to be listed as a NPZ, which is Neighborhood Preservation Zone. It's different than a HPZ. It is a more of a conservation district. They do have design manuals of, you know, what's appropriate for the district to be built, and we'll have to go through a review process. So that's their last step. We also submitted for phase two of our African American survey recently through the Pastor Grant that the State Historic Preservation Office offers. The deadline was May 31st. It usually takes them a while to notify you. So fingers crossed, we will get the phase two. The phase two, previously in the African American survey, you'll recall Jennifer Lustig did a presentation on it a little bit ago, a couple months ago, but they did interviews. They kind of developed an Excel spreadsheet of significant properties around the city, and had the outline for a context. And the phase two, they will finish out the context for the African American history. They'll do more oral interviews. They did some previously. They'll do some more. And we'll work on putting together a story map so we can have it as a layer on our Historic Map Tucson, where it'll come up properties when you do the layer with a photo and like a history of the site and everything like that. That's a discussion. So fingers crossed we'll get that. Also, I wanted to update. Sorry. Does somebody have a question?
I didn't see any hands up.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I also wanted to alert you. The city of Tucson became aware of an issue with Christopher Columbus Park and the work that's taking place out there recently. This is a relatively new issue, so we're still working it out. If you will recall, there's a road widening that's happening along Silver Bell Road, and then the Christopher Columbus Park is right next to Silver Bell Road. And unfortunately, while they had data recovery at both spots, while they were continuing to work on Christopher Columbus Park, they went into the right-of-way. Which they did not have a monitor for. So they are stopping the work right now. We have self-reported to the Army Corps of Engineers and to the Arizona State Museum. The county met with the Army Corps of Engineers yesterday, and they will be issuing a cease and desist order while we figure out how to go forward on this project. And this is still a ongoing, newly developing issue. So we don't have a lot of updates. We're still just working on figuring out what's going on and how we need to proceed. And that's all I have to update you on.
Okay. Is there anyone with an urgent question for Jody?
No.
Okay. If not, let's move on to item 6B, which is Pima County Cultural Resources Department.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. First of all, I'd like to welcome Courtney on behalf of the county. We welcome you and glad to have you here. couple of things to update you on. First is some great news that the Titan Missile Museum, the old strategic missile defense system has now been transferred out of federal ownership into the county. It was a long three-year process. We took ownership of it at the end of May. We had a dedication ceremony earlier this week. And so we are really excited to take on that National Historic Landmark into our asset management list. Again, it's a priority cultural resource for the county. And we continue to work with our longtime operator, the Aerospace Foundation, in the oversight of that incredible asset for Southern Arizona. We are also in the works of, we've identified a federal grant, because I noted to you previously that we are really pushing to a new goal of listing, identifying one priority cultural resource each year for listing on the National Register. Well, coincidentally, the Park Service has issued a grant opportunity that we are going to be applying for underrepresented communities, specifically for identifying properties for listing on the National Register of Historic Places. We've identified three of those properties, being the Dakota Wash site, the Valencia site, and Los Morteros. We've gotten preliminary blessing from the Tana'atam Nation and Pascua Yaqui for pursuing these listings. And so the grant would be, the deadline is the end of August. We wouldn't find out until January. But what we, our plan would be, if awarded the grant, is to do a context study for Ho'okam ball courts. And then we would list those three properties under that context study. So the grant would cover a total of four documents, one which would have great benefit for future listings of ancestral properties moving forward. So we're really looking forward to that opportunity. We also wanted to alert you that Ms. State is no longer commissioner, but we've been working with D1. She unfortunately had to resign, so we've been working with our District 1 office in identifying a new candidate. Supervisor Scott has identified a new candidate, and we're kind of working through the paperwork right now, and so we look to have representation from District 1 shortly, potentially in the next meeting. And then I did want to alert you of one other interesting issue that came up regarding the Catalina condominiums property that was listed on the National Register a few years ago. This is at kind of Sunrise and Campbell. So long story short, I was alerted by Jen Ludstick and Demian regarding a Pima County report that was produced by the health department for this property. And as you know, that this property has significance in association with Warner Boz and this beautiful kind of master garden that has a pool and koi pond and everything. And the issue at hand was, built in 1963, is that it's always been exempt from building and zoning code due to the grandfather clause. However, unfortunately, and the story's kind of weird, they had to self-report on another issue unrelated, and the health department gets involved. And when the health department gets involved, it doesn't really have the same variance processes or exemption processes for public health and safety. So internally at the county, the issue is that the requirement under health code is that a barrier for public safety be put up around the pool itself. But obviously that would have severe impacts on the design of that important contributing feature of the property. And so internally we are working with health department and development services and ourselves to try to figure out how to deal with this situation. This is the first time it's ever come up. The health department is very willing to enter into this discussion. It's just going to take some time. And of course we have a concerned HOA. So we continue to work through this and I'll have an update for you guys next meeting. That's all I had.
Okay. Are there any urgent questions? Ian, I was just going to mention that for the pool issue, I've seen a lot of fencing both in Tucson and Phoenix that is sort of temporary in a sense. You know, you put it up, it's see-through, it's fencing that with a gate and all that that can be removed then when your kids are old enough or whatever, like in a private home, like you have to have it if you have children under a certain age. So, I mean, explore the different kinds of fencing and maybe, you know, talk to the National Register and say this is an issue and how do we deal with that, or with SHPO. I mean, that's my suggestion. So, having seen that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that everyone is in good faith on this. I think the health department's learning, DSD and I are learning about, you know, the health, public safety aspect of it. And the issue is not just kids, right? It's a 55 and up community, not
exactly.
Formally. But you also have to worry about, you know, elderly that, you know, may trip and fall and so forth. So it's to protect everyone.
The
issue is that it's a semi-public pool, right? Because it serves more than just one residence. And so under health and safety code, it's mandated that, according to the law, that there is no grandfather clause. But yes, we are seeking direction from outside agencies. The discussion continues internally and we are working through that education process, but we hope to resolve this issue fairly quickly, in the historic preservation mindset rather than having to add new features that break it all up.
Exactly. And I think, Steve Grady, you had your hand up.
Yes, I was going to offer the services of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee if we might be useful.
Wonderful. And, you know, we did identify you, and we just haven't gotten there yet. But, yes, if for some reason we need to have at least a new variance process or something, or at least even gain that kind of insight, we would definitely reach out to you guys.
Great, thank you.
But regardless, I will keep everyone updated.
Okay, thank you. I don't see any other hands, so we'll go ahead and move forward then. Item 6C is City of South Tucson, Joshua Lycia, but I don't see him on the call. So there's no report for 6C. 6D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, and I did see Jorge Castillo.
Yes, you did. I'm having problems with my camera, so I'm going to, please pardon that. It's affecting my communication here. But you can hear me, correct?
Yes, we can hear
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay, thanks. So real quickly, Ian Sansom from, Transit was scheduled to make a presentation in June. He's requested a change to August due to schedule conflicts. So we're really looking forward to his presentation in August. We've made that aware to him that the commission is interested in hearing his presentation. So let's keep our fingers crossed for August. Other two quick items. There's a project on Mary Ann Cleveland Way, shared youth path from Houghton Road to Atterbury Wash Way. It's a shared youth path, approximate length of 1.3 miles. It was a pre-construction meeting held this week, and that will construction will begin on that path on July 15th, and will run for approximately 120 calendar days. And the only other item I have is that Blackledge Bicycle Boulevard, it's a project of 4.5 miles, and we received a USDOT competitive grant from the Reconnecting Communities program for $2.5 million in construction. So we'll be working through the programming of those funds to move that project forward. And the design is pretty much complete. Now that these funds are federal, we'll have to go through the federal environmental planning protocols. And that's all I have for right now.
Thank you, Jorge. Are there questions? Carlos, did you have anything for Jorge? You want to unmute, and then, Ken, I'll call on you after Carlos.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Jorge. I just wanted to remind you, last month I was curious about the Grant Road project. Because, you know, I've attended some of the public outreach, and they don't really clearly show which buildings are still going to be demolished. There was, for instance, there's one building on the north side that I was certain that was going to be demolished, but it's been completely renovated. I don't know why someone would do that. And just so you know, we had a presentation once from Real Estate Division, and Real Estate Division assured us that there was this very methodical process that they went through before they disposed of an acquired property. And we were just hoping we could, you know, continue to monitor that process. So do you know the best way to get a list of properties that have been acquired and are going to be disposed of?
So I, following up from last month's meeting, I did have initial conversations with the Real Estate Division. So I'll just follow up again and ask them for that listing. And also I did see that previous report that was done quite a while back on the historic property assessments, and then to see which properties were scheduled for acquisition or whatever their status is of those properties.
Okay, thanks a lot, because, yeah, appreciate your acting as intermediary, because it's hard for us to make those contacts ourselves.
Yes, I am working on that. Sorry I didn't get back to you as quick as you were hoping.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Terry, Ken, Peter was first.
Oh, Ken was first, Peter, then I'll call on you.
Yeah, can you hear me? I can't. You're breaking up. Can you hear me?
Yes, Peter. Ken was next for the question. Then I will call
That's
on
fine.
You.
That's fine. I'll wait.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Go ahead. You're on mute, right. Ken.
Jorge, I should be on mute. Okay,
oh, no, you're good. Okay.
All right. Jorge, I have a question I've asked several times. Since the realignment of all the roadway and Fifth coming down in the Stone Avenue underpass, what is planned for the land in front of the Stone Avenue underpass, and then even farther to the east? I just don't want to have it be another fast chicken sandwich place. So do we have any idea how those lands are going to be disposed of, or can it be some kind of nice architectural landscape, some situation to have that gateway be more attractive for people coming downtown.
Jody, do you recall anything related to that? I know that last time you were able to chime in on I think it was some related structures, but I'll have to get back with you on that. I know we had asked about that initially. There was a certain property that was going to be under the kind of like the administration of a private landowner, but I don't know about the public spaces, but I promise to get more information to you on that.
Okay, that's just really a concern because there's a lot going on already with the bicycle bridge over and all the other issues going on. So it needs to be everybody knows what's being planned or who owns it or what's going to happen with those properties as they're disposed. That was my major question. Besides.
Are you done?
No, and I do remember that you had mentioned that it would make a good location for some kind of gateway wayfinding or.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I've been losing you guys in and out, but someone was speaking about a construction of a trail and. Out of Houghton Road, is that right?
Is Marianne Cleveland way from Houghton Road to Atterbury Wash? It's 1.3 miles.
Trail.
A shared youth path. So that would be paved with some railing and some landscaping.
So has a cultural resource survey been done?
Yes.
Okay, we need to be copied on that.
Okay.
I don't know, you know, I'm just not, are there any sites that are going to be disturbed by it?
No sites were identified.
Okay, just send me a copy of the report so I have it for my files.
Okay, will do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Jorge, and we'll go ahead and move on to item 7, which is commission subcommittee and other committee council and commission status reports. Item 7A is plans review subcommittee. Jody, do you have anything else to add on that?
Yeah. So we have a meeting scheduled for the 20th due to the conference that is happening the last week of June. Would result in some quorum issues. The meeting was moved to, the 20th. But we also have a meeting on the 13th. Sorry, I'm like working ahead. The meeting on the 13th will have several items from Quest University that have already been reviewed there, and one item from the water department for a pump house. Being proposed to demo. So that'll also be on it. And then as a side note, on the 20th, I anticipate having the relocation of the capstone properties, those five buildings, houses that are on the southeast corner of Euclid and Speedway. So that'll be on the agenda for the 20th.
Okay.
Those will be the
Okay, any questions from commissioners? Okay, if not, we'll move on to 7B, which is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Haggard.
Hi. They had planned to have or try to get somebody to speak about the recently legislation that was passed and signed by the governor of HB 2720, which was going to have stuff to do with accessory dwelling units, specifically in cities 75,000 population or more. They were unable to get anybody to speak about that at that meeting. And there are, you know, there, some of the concerns are for us and for the downtown neighborhood, committee was that, the effects on historic neighborhoods. So what this, there was some neighbors who attended that are much more knowledgeable on this, but I don't know that, there was, it wasn't a concise, consensus. So I don't know that I would, use those as highly knowledgeable, sources. So I'm not going to start quoting, what they said exactly, but, it's going to affect, single family zoned, properties. So that's R1 zoning. So R2 and R3, which is predominantly the downtown area, that wouldn't, some of the other, neighborhoods that are historic may be affected by that. The thought is it's not going to, you're not going to be seeing these ADUs or the, changing, adding an apartment onto a unit isn't going to be affecting the street presence as much as in the back and potentially some of the height or setback restrictions in the back of a property. So that was pretty much the, there was neighborhood news and that sort of stuff.
Okay, I see, Tim, that J.J. Lamb has her hand up. J.J., do you have a comment quickly?
Yes. So HB 2720 and HB 2721 are of concern to many people across the state, and I would invite everyone to go to the Arizona Preservation Foundation website for more information. And if a group needs someone knowledgeable to speak to, perhaps reach out to Jim McPherson at the Arizona Preservation Foundation.
Right.
Okay. Christina, did you have your hand up?
I did. I just wanted to raise my hand and kind of address what we're thinking right now in the department and how we're proceeding with both the ADU bill as well as the middle housing bill. I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but I think those are the two that are currently being discussed. And Jody did mention it in her report, but next week at study session, we will be updating and providing a very high level overview to mayor and council on those two bills and two others that were passed that will have an impact on some of our code. The other two, one is around adaptive reuse and the other is around timeframes in which we need to respond to some of our applicants. So those are the other two bills. We're going to do a high level overview. Three of those bills, adaptive reuse, the timeline bill, and the ADU, all require implementation by January 1 of next year. The middle housing bill doesn't require implementation until January 1 of 2026. So there will be a lot more time and public engagement and outreach involved in the middle housing bill as we work with the community to understand how to implement that bill in a manner that is best aligned with the mayor and council's interests as well as the community interests. So that's the middle housing. We have a little bit more time. We have a year and a half on that one, and there will be substantial public outreach and engagement on that one. The ADU bill is a much shorter time frame. It's also much more prescriptive, and it's also fairly well aligned with what we already have. There are some changes, but it's very prescriptive in terms of those changes. And it only has a 6-month time frame. So we will be at Mayor and Council seeking their direction to implement the code changes necessary for all four of those bills. And we're happy, and Jody can provide those, and or I, if I'm on, can provide updates during the next 6 months on those first three, and the next year and a half on the middle housing bill.
Thank you, Christina. Maybe the thing to do is for us to add this as a regular agenda item so that we don't forget, and you can let us know. Also, I can't remember, JJ, if I shared the letter from Jim McPherson. I thought I did. If not, I will make sure that's sent to commissioners, okay, just because he had some good points on that. So, okay, thank you, everyone. We're going to go ahead and move forward. item seven. Yes.
Hi, this is Kent. I'd be leaving, but I have important updates on both the Pima College and in the historic building. So if you could come back to those if I'm still away.
I surely will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Let's 7C is historic landscapes. Commissioner Grady.
Thank you. So we will not be meeting on the 27th due to the it's Arizona Preservation Conference. We are hoping to meet in the following month, or if any items come up, we can set up a meeting prior. Otherwise, there are no items to report.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Item 7D is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks, Terry. Welcome, Courtney. So Courtney, Transportation Subcommittee just deals with anything that happens within the commercial corridor or any transportation projects that have any potential adverse effects to historic resources. So for instance, on RTA, and RTA Next, there was a opportunity for public comment to PAG, I believe, last month. And I checked, and we already sent a comment letter last year. And then also, Commissioner Lamb has already discussed sort of the problematic situation with the Vail part of the project, the Vail project, in some public meetings. So we've kind of got that covered, but we also discovered that Josue Licea is also on the PAG Transportation Planning Committee. So we're going to be checking with him to see if there's any other ways of dealing with some of these, this problematic project in Vail, or the lack of that project. Now it's been changed. ADOT, 5-year plan. I'm still working on that letter. I'll get that to Terry. That's not urgent. Then TEP Midtown Reliability Project, that's those 100-foot, 138 kV power poles that are going to go either through or adjacent to historic neighborhoods and also eligible historic neighborhoods. So and I've said before, we're recommending undergrounding all or part of those lines. The update would be that the city voted to defend its laws in front of the ACC. That's a good thing. I don't know the outcome of that yet. I also believe that the Superior Court has yet to render a decision on TEP versus City of Tucson. We've already sent in comment letters to TEP, so we need to send a comment letter to the ACC. We've already made a motion and approved that to do that. That's going to go out on around July 8th, so that's before our next meeting, but we've already approved that letter, so I'm just letting Terry know that we'll send that out on or around July 8th after the conference and before the next meeting, so watch for that. And then I think that was – yeah, I believe that's all I have. So Ken is coming back to talk about PCC, is that right, Terry? Or
yeah, he'll be back on at – what time did he say he'd be back on, Carla?
I believe 1:15.
Or 1:05 or something. Yeah, we'll just come back to him if we're still online, you know.
Okay. So, great. And I don't think I have anything else unless Commissioner Lamb wants to add anything about the RTA item.
No. Okay, JJ, shaking your head.
I don't have anything right now. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks for that report, Carlos. It's appreciated. All right. Item 7E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Hi. I apologize. I missed it this month, so I will catch you guys up on the next.
Okay. Thank you very much, Savannah. Item 7F is Budget Subcommittee. A couple things. We're still closing in on the expenses from the Preservation Award Subcommittee. We'll have some expenses for outreach and training, and some reallocation. So budget subcommittee members, Ricky, you're a member, and so is Helen, but she's not on. We'll have to meet briefly at some point very shortly to deal with that. And Carla, I'd ask you some time ago to check on the status of our next fiscal year budget so that I know that Ian probably has the money stockpiled, but the city probably needs your reminder to them. So we can talk about that offline. Yeah. Okay. Item 7G is outreach and training. Commissioner Elwan, Commissioner Lamb, who would like to report?
Okay, this is JJ, and we are working to set up a meeting next week, and where we'll be able to discuss, outreach and training, and this is also going to impact the budget. So it's really important that we have this meeting. And I just want to remind everyone that part of the camp experience is an annual membership at no cost to everyone who attended. So I'll put together that information and who to contact if you haven't already done so, and get that to Carla so it can be sent out to everyone.
Great. Thank you, JJ. All right. So item 7H is Preservation Awards Subcommittee. We had our Preservation Awards ceremony on May 19th. I want to thank Commissioners Kubisch, Erickson, and Scoville for their help. It was a very nice event. A lot of people attended. It was unseasonably warm, but I think it was enjoyed by all. We gave out a record number of awards because we hadn't had a ceremony in quite a while. We didn't have the funds to support it. And so also Steve Kozacik received the top award and gave some lovely remarks. Thanks for everyone from the commission and the city and county who were able to attend and help out. Thank you. Okay, item 7I is event subcommittee. Me again. The event subcommittee primarily assists with random events that the commission does, but also the yearly celebration of Tucson in late August every year. And so now that we have the subcommittee constituted, we'll be moving forward with several things. Like there will be a special place to go for events not only leading up to this August, but also for the big anniversary event that's coming up in a couple of years. So, and the commission will be supporting the Presidio Trust on a lot of these things, not always financially, but just with our time and our connections and so forth. So they're moving on that. Commissioner Riojas is coming up with sort of a way for people, for different organizations to sign up for being partners in that event. So we'll have more to report on that at future meetings. Okay. So if there's no questions, let's move on then to item 8, which is land acknowledgement statement for the commission. There's information that Commissioner Lozano put together, but as I've discussed with him, because Commissioner Sadangi is not on the call and she's from the Tohono O'odham Nation, I would really like both her and Commissioner Steer, who is the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Tohono O'odham, to be both on a meeting together. So I would suggest that you read carefully the materials that I provided. We'll provide them again with next month's packet, but we'll have a full discussion of that then. Okay. Item 9 is 2024 Arizona Statewide Preservation Conference in Prescott, which is June 25th to 27th. Over the past several meetings, we've noted that there's commissioner support to attend the meetings. You can contact through the city and county. How many of you are going? I mean, just you can raise your hands virtually or in person. I'm going. Anyone else? No one's taking advantage of that. So JJ's going to be there. I see somebody with JJ and Ricky are going. So we'll have some folks there. So did you guys have your hands up just to say that, not for a comment, right? So it should be a good meeting. The weirdness is that they had one last fall and now they're having it again in the summer, and it's within the same fiscal year for the city, so city folks can't attend. And then I don't know, county folks, are you all going? I see Courtney shaking her head. So that's good. So we'll see folks there. Okay. Let's see. Item 10 is ASM permitting and policy updates. Is Ian still here to report on that? No, he had a 1 o'clock. He may have jumped off. Courtney, do you want to report for him?
I don't believe that Ian had an update this month. Thank you.
Okay. Let me see. Next meeting. No report. Okay. Item 11. No, I'm sorry. No, that's right. ASM permitting and policy updates, no report. Then 11 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings. But because we don't have Ken back, we will have to come back to that item, Carla. So if you note that, that would be terrific if we're still on. But I think we will be. Okay.
Carrie, can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
It's about the land acknowledgement statement. If we had anything that we wanted included in there that's not in the current draft that we're looking at, do we email that to you or Carlos or?
Well, I think what we need to do is just bring it up at the next meeting.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Or, you know, if you wanted to email me and copy, you know, email both Carlos and me and say this, I have some ideas on that.
Right. I just wasn't sure how much of a draft we were going to have by next time.
Well, I think, didn't you already provide a draft, Carlos?
There actually is a draft, but I would welcome input for sure.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It is in the packet. You kind of got to dig through, but it's there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. No other questions. Okay. Let's see. So the item 11 we'll come back to. Item 12 we'll come back to. Item 13 is Plan Tucson update. Jody, Corin, do you have anything?
For the Plan Tucson update, there's not much outreach planned over the summer. They're working on drafting the plan. And then it's anticipated that the draft will be posted for the public, and there'll be continued public outreach in the fall. Including reconvening the working groups for feedback.
Great. Okay, thank you. And we do have, and we'd have to ask Helen if she wanted to reconvene her commission working group on that. So she may, but since she's not here, we can't ask her. Okay, item 14 is Pima Prosper's update. And Courtney and Commissioner Lamb, can you report, please?
Yes, thank you. I can start. We had our first working group meeting on June 3rd. Commissioners Lamb, Scoville, Riojas, and Kubish were present, and I represented for Pima County. Our next meeting is scheduled for this coming Friday, and Mark Holden with Pima County Development Services will be joining us. The group came up with a list of items for review, including a draft plan format, a good schedule, some updates that aren't currently on the website will be needed, and came up with some preliminary objectives to achieve during the course of this working group. For instance, making figures more understandable to the public and usable, and bridging the gap between aspirational and actual policies and conditions.
Great. Thank you. Yes. Did you have anything to add, JJ?
No, that was, Courtney, that was just a perfect encapsulation, and thank you. Yeah, and I know we're all looking forward to meeting again on Friday.
Thank you.
And just By the way, the agenda will be posted. So, all right. So if I don't see any hands, so item 15 is update on and discussion of city-county activities now that the city and county have voted to retain a joint commission. 15A is City of Tucson. Jody, do you have anything?
I do not. We have continued to work with the county on their updates at this point.
Okay. Item 15B is a special update from Pima County. They're at the point where they have shared in a later item. It wasn't originally included in our packets, and it was sent out by Carla, some files on where they stand with things. Basically, the Pima County update and overview on proposed historic zone code text amendment. And they're going to do a preliminary review of the working draft, proposed review process, and anticipated schedule. And we assume that this is the first of a number of reports and updates on that. And Courtney's shaking her head yes. So, Courtney, do you want to go for that? Go for it.
Yes, thank you. I will begin. Thank you for the opportunity to provide this update on a proposed text amendment for updates to Pima County's Historic Zone Code Chapter 18.63, which, as was just pointed out, that the commissioners received a copy of. The document is a draft with proposed DLC strikeouts and proposed underline text, which represent proposed additions to the code. This draft was also sent to the Pima County Attorney's Office. And just to recap a little bit of the background, with the initial direction from the National Park Service to split the Joint Historical Commission in early 2022, Pima County staff, attorneys and stakeholders undertook a review of Chapter 18.63 to enable the creation of a separate commission. After some additional research, the National Park Service clarified their original directive on December 15th, 2022, to not restrict certified local governments, meaning Pima County and City of Tucson in this case, from having joint commissions as long as the commission has the legal authority to act within each jurisdiction. On September 5th, 2023, the Pima County Board of Supervisors voted to maintain the Joint Historical Commission. Although a Joint Historical Commission will be retained, updates to Chapter 18.63 are still needed to reflect the current process and comply with certified local government requirements. For instance, the current code does not include the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission with purpose, composition, terms, powers, and responsibilities, and these are proposed to be added to the code. You can see section 18.99.060 for that. You'll see the underlined text. Another addition that is proposed is a Pima County Plans Review Subcommittee. It's proposed for addition to implement the requirements of 18.63 in reviews of historic zone and historic landmark zone requests on properties within unincorporated Pima County. And I'd like to give you a proposed schedule and process for review. This draft is also being sent to an updated list of stakeholders, including those who participated 2 years ago, and will include the current Tucson Pima County Historical Commission commissioners. I am proposing a stakeholder meeting during the second week of July, but I would like to send out a doodle poll to see who can attend those meetings given holidays over the summer. That will be followed by a Tucson Pima County Historical Commission special study session. And I will be compiling comments with Manabendra Chankakoti, who is here attending the meeting today, throughout the next month. The list of proposed changes will be forwarded to the Pima County Attorney's Office after we compile everything. And after that happens, in August, Pima County staff will incorporate the the edits from the commission and stakeholders into a draft for the Pima County Attorney's Office. And then that will come back to us and will be presented, hopefully, in the monthly meeting, the Historical Commission monthly meeting on August 14th. And following that, Pima County staff will prepare a document to present to the Pima County Planning and Zoning Commission. And following that, perhaps for November, staff will prepare a document with recommendations and other supporting documents for the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And that's a very general look at the schedule. There are a lot of details to be worked out. And this presentation today was mainly to present an updated schedule, provide a basic overview, and request any, we can say, like red flags or anything that jumps out at commissioners that you would like to tell us so we can take that back right away and start working on that. But the review process will be over the next month and will include a stakeholder meeting and a study session and ample time for commissioner review.
Okay, thank you. We do have one question from Ken. Do you want to go ahead, Ken?
Yes, and obviously I'm back. When I was looking at this earlier this morning, and it just as a first concern, it says Historic District Zone Advisory Boards delete, and then development zones, and then it says new construction. Now it becomes 18.6.60. It would be nice to see how things will align, what it would become, so that we just had those of us that are age impaired, so we can look at what the existing is and work. Like, where does Historic District Zone Advisory Boards come back into a different terminology? Given all of I was on the research group, given all the issues we had with trying to save things, and ministries see advisory boards deleted, it's concerning. So we need to see how that alignment works so we're not losing any of the ordinance as this process goes through. Because like everything else, it's in the weeds. That's why real estate attorneys and zoning attorneys get $800 an hour or whatever they get. It's in the weeds. So we want to make sure there's a good alignment so we can see what's going on.
So, Ken, I'm going to chime in here and say one of the things that we've tried to do and working with Jody in the city is we've tried to align as much as possible. But what is also very clear in doing this exercise is that there are certain situations that are very unique to either Pima County or the city of Tucson. And so while we can align, there are times we are going to have to deviate or omit certain things from, let's say, the Pima County code than would be in the city code. And the neighborhood advisory boards is one of them. And I'm going to let Ben chime in as to kind of the research that went into that, just to give you a preliminary look. But obviously, we will continue the discussion moving forward. Ben?
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ian. My name is Ben Chanka-Cody. And that's a good point that you brought up. The first and foremost, the critical element here in terms of why we had suggested eliminating the advisory board is because of the Proposition 207 from 2006. It's known as the Property Rights Act. It was essentially brought about for the purpose of not allowing governments to be able to county and city governments.
Okay.
To basically not allow them to enforce eminent domain factors where a lot of times using urban renewal and such, you know, governments have certain powers to say that blight has caused this and therefore we need to do this. So right. Now,
I'm very aware of both those issues.
Right. As it currently stands, over the past 10 years or so, we've only received 4 or 5 requests. All of them have been the landmark zone. As it also currently stands, the code says that with a 51% majority, we can establish a historic district zone.
But the moment we attempt to do that, the very first thing that's going to hit us is Prop 207. So those are the basic concerns behind which this is what we have proposed. Also, anytime we come up with something and we edit, we always send it forward to the Pima County Attorney's Office. And since
we keep losing you, Ben.
I think we're losing
Ben. You keep going in and out.
I don't know. Microphone's on.
You're back.
Camera's on.
You're back.
So we basically forward it to the Pima County Attorney's Office because they have to deal with any kind of legal ramifications that come up from any kind of code that we write. And we always look to them for advice on whether or not we should include something, exclude something, and so on and so forth. So, as Courtney mentioned, we're going to go through this review period where we will hear from stakeholders, and we will take all of those comments, edits, and concerns, compile them, and we will discuss that with the Pima County Attorney's Office. That's basically our.
Okay, just a couple comments on this. And having done research on all of this, back to the formation of the ordinance and all of this situation, it was first a city endeavor, and then later on, I think it was maybe 8 or 5 or 10 years, I'd have to check, that it became also accepted by the county. And as far as Prop 207, I think a lot of people in the preservation field are looking to do a challenge to 207 because everybody's been so afraid to do 207. And typically, the other thing is, currently, these zones and advisory boards are in the county documents, even though they don't have HPZs, historic preservation zones. It may be in the future, after a court situation or different politics of the state, all different things, that maybe there's going to be a neighborhood that would like to be in a historic preservation zone. And it's always harder to put something back in than take it out. You're not in violation of 207, technically, until you started it. It doesn't mean that you can't keep the whole idea of an advisory board and a zone in your document. You'd only trigger a 207 issue if somebody wanted to come forward to the county and neighborhood and said, we'd like to do a preservation zone. So that's why I'm just concerned. Many of you start deleting things, especially things in the weeds, that it's no problem. You're not going to get any kind of legal issue with, unless you have a challenge to the 207. They're not going to say, take it out, because someday you might do something.
But one thing we also considered, and again, getting back to the attorneys, this is not set in stone. This is what we're currently being advised to do, and we will seek stakeholder input, and we can talk about more of this on the study session, is that we're also looking at, because of the history of the landmark zone and the historic district zone, the potential for neighborhoods, residential neighborhoods coming in for a National Register district and then pursuing the zone. We haven't seen any evidence of it, but we're not getting rid of the historic district zone. We still have that mechanism. And I understand the scare of removing things, but we have the historic district zone, which would then prompt us to say, during that first one, let's look at the fact of whether there is even the ability for this to go forward for the neighborhood advisory. And it's kind of like a cascade thing, but the attorneys want to clean it up and say, we just don't have a lot of potential for a historic district zone within unincorporated Pima County.
Well, I can name two or three patio home developments that are getting very close to 50 years of age, and they have struggled to not let anybody put a garage in, and they kept the integrity. And there's several nice ones that I know people would like either a landmark or a zone to this, and I've actually discussed, because I live in the county, and I've discussed this with them. So sure. It's just going to be more difficult if it's removed. And if it has it exist there, there's a potential in the future that you're not going to have to go back to a whole nother step to lobby and get it put back in. And it doesn't become any legal issue unless there's somebody that's going to challenge it right now in the 207. But I would expect in the next 2 years, there'll be a challenge to Prop 207. From the preservation community.
Sure. The two zones that the county did have, Fort Lowell and San Javier, obviously we're removing those, right? Yeah. Because San Javier is no longer unincorporated Pima County. It, It's tribal, right? It's part of the nation. And then Fort Lowell has now been annexed to the city, right? So we don't maintain that zone anymore.
We got the building a while ago.
And obviously, the Fort Lowell's been having a lot of issues lately.
Wait, let me mute this a second. I don't even know how to mute this.
Excuse me. Peter, it's *6 to mute, okay? Okay, go ahead, Ken.
I just want to express that concern today, and I certainly want to be involved in this, having done all the research and all the purges that have gone on.
You will be, Ken. There'll be many opportunities, and we have to commend Pima County for reaching out to us with all the thorough information ahead of time and willingness to take our comments. So thank you.
I would hope they would.
Yeah. Wait, so anyway, I was just going to say,
Terry, there is a memorandum that our county administration sent to the Board of Supervisor that provides a more detailed version of Courtney's report. It's available publicly. I'm happy to forward that, a copy of that to the commission just so you have it. And it outlines the schedule and everything as well.
Yeah. So Ian, if you could send that to Carla and then copy me, she can distribute that to everyone. And then we keep track of all the pieces of paper and everything. So we're going to have to move on. Did you have one more thing, Courtney?
Well, just one more small thing. I would like to ask Ben do we have an updated version of the edit list summary? I saw that you sent one this morning to staff.
No,
is that updated? Okay.
No.
I'll get that, though, in the next week.
Okay. Well, thank you again. And then, Courtney, work with me on whether you, for the next agenda, what you want on there. So that would be great. Okay, so real briefly, Ken, we're going to move back to your two items, and I wanted to be sure that, Carla, you got the Ken returned at 12:59, and you have when he left the meeting, so that's good. Let's go back to item 11, monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the city. Ken, do you have something real brief?
Yes, well, I'll try to make it brief. I want to reference again about the Atkins property, and Damian Klinko sent this to the commission back in April. And this is about section 5.8.11, maintenance section D of the UDC code. And this is about city-owned historic buildings. The city needs to maintain their historic buildings just like anybody else. Now, there's still a debate at SHPO, and I've been talking to SHPO about. Yes.
Would you mind just speaking up just a little bit? It's really hard to hear you.
Okay, I'll switch to middle school voice.
Thank you.
Here, trying to bring up the topic again about the UDC code, section 5.8.11, that Damian Klinko said to the commission back in April. It is imperative that the commission takes proactive measures when a property is being neglected and the risk of weather vandalism. And this is a city-owned property, the Atkins building. They've already lost one corner. It's been shored up. The roof is in terrible shape, but I was talking about last fall and winter about the situation. We've got the rains coming up. We need to find this city-owned property. We need to find some money somewhere to put a new roof on so the building has a chance to survive. And there's got to be some money within the city. I'm still talking with SHPO, and I guess the Heritage Fund's been deleted for right now, and they're going to end the budget fight. Hopefully, they're going to put some back. But there needs to be, if the city's going to follow this code, from my understanding, they need to find some money to get a new roof on the Atkins building before the rains come.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any update on that, Jody?
No, they shored up the south
corner,
west corner, and the north west corner. They're looking for money and ways to either protect the building before the monsoons, before the rains come.
Terry, may I jump in?
Yes, go ahead. Wait. Who was that wanting to jump in? Was it you, Ian?
That was me. So, Ken, just also, the county holds a conservation easement over that property. So we continue to monitor the city on that one. And we've been providing them time to find that funding, but also understanding that if we don't see action pretty soon, then the county's going to need to step in. So we're continuing to monitor.
Well, I think maybe you ought to look at that UDC code that they're supposed to do something. They just can't let them fall apart without finding some money somewhere in the budget. I'm and other people are trying to wait for sure, and we want to try and make sure it's listed. It certainly qualifies. There's still a question about if it's listed or not. And I've talked to Fort Lowell, and we talked to SHPO up at the state. But we need to get some money in the city or the county, but the city would be the one to get a new roof on it. It's not going to make it. Another rain, big summer rain, no other two corners will go, and that's it.
Okay, do you have other items on this, on item 11, Ken?
No, that's the big one.
Okay, and then it would be great, Jody, if we could have an update anytime, or Ian, once we know what's going on, that somebody gets with us so we know what's happening. It doesn't have to be at the next meeting, because that's quite very important. Right. Yeah, item 12. Yeah. Yes. Update on Pima County College-owned historic motels on Drachman. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, the board, Pima Community College Board, has finally approved a request for qualifications. And I think they've done it state and national. To anybody in the development industry, hopefully somebody that does something related with historic preservation, but anybody, a request for qualifications that Pima Community College is willing to lease the property. They want to retain ownership of the land, but a developer can come in and do what they may. They would not put any kind of preservation easements or suggestions on any of the assets there. But this is the time to try and just do outreach for anybody. And I've done a few, and Herb Stratford had somebody waiting in the wings. So we're trying to find a developer that want to do something significant. The easiest one in the bunch would be the Tucson Inn. The sign's been redone by part of the HUD grant for the Tucson House. The sign's redone. It's an historic restaurant venue for lots of different things. Somebody could put in a nice restaurant venue in it. And if they wanted to level the units in back, that'd be a loss, but at least you'd still have that historic landmark. So there's all kinds of possibilities. El Rio wants to put a health clinic in close to the Tucson House, where they could save the Frontier Motel, make those breakout units, build a new building in the middle where the parking is, all kinds of things to be done creatively. But this is also going to be an excuse if nobody comes up and they don't think it's suitable, they'll demolish the buildings and fall, and that'll be it. That's where we're
at. Yeah, Ken, do you want this item to remain on the agenda?
Yeah, yes, because okay. I will give you an update status of what's going on.
Great, thank you. Okay, let's skip back down to item 16, which is update on archaeological site damage at the border. Commissioner Steer, do you have anything for us?
No, nothing. They're not working there. All work on the border has been shut down because of court action, and so that's sort of all in limbo now.
Okay, so work at the border shut down?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a legal court thing going on between the state of Texas, the state of Missouri, and the Border Patrol, and it's sort of a legal mess. But the end result has been that there's no border work going on anywhere right now. It's completely shut down. It's been shut down for about the last 6 weeks.
Okay, thank you.
Terry, I got one other thing. Floor, can I say one other thing?
Go ahead.
Yeah, we've just been of interest for the committee. We've just been approached by contractors that are working for the University of Arizona, and they want to draft a new management plan for the University Indian Ruin, which some of you know about. I'm sure many of you know about. It's a large Holocom site that was donated to the university many, many years ago. And they've had, you know, problems with trespass and a couple looting cases and stuff like that. But this committee's been formed, and they're going to be drafting a new management plan for this. And I mentioned this, Terry, because I wasn't sure if the committee would be interested, you know, when we review these drafts, you know, it would be interesting to have someone from this group on the management team.
Why don't you, why don't we talk about this and we'll get it on the agenda and figure out who I can contact for more information on this?
Yeah, that's fine. Just want to let everybody know.
Okay, now that's very important. All right. Let's see. Item 18 is called to the audience. No, excuse me. Item 17 is Commissioner's Summary of Current Events. If anyone would like to mention something, please raise your hand. so I don't see any. So, all right, we don't have any updates. Item 18 is call to the audience. Carla, were any comments received by the deadline?
So I did receive, I didn't receive an email, but I did receive a call from a constituent regarding the time capsule, which is located nearby the Tucson Museum of Arts. I know I sent you an email, Chair, and I know Commissioner Riojas took care, replied to the constituent in email.
Yeah, thank you for that. And that's not really a comment on the agenda, but it's other matters. So thank you. Because it just turned out that, Ricky and I were on a meeting where that had been discussed. So I thought she was the perfect one to bring it up. So thanks, Ricky, for doing that. And thanks, Carla, for sending it. He, hopefully he's happy with the response. Okay. Let's see. Item 19. Are there any thoughts on inclusivity that people want to share? Okay, so item 20 is schedule and future agenda items. I am going to put an item for ADUs on the agenda, and I will probably put you, Jody, and Christina, and Corn, whoever, you know, we can talk about that, okay?
Sure.
Just an update, and then when there's a fuller presentation, you can let me know, or if there's other people we need to add from you know, PDSD or whatever. So, any other agenda items other than the ones that I've asked about and that Peter mentioned? Okay. Anyway, thank you all for attending, and we are, we'll adjourn in just a second, but Carla, could you stay on and talk to me about the schedule for the legal action report?
Yes.
And okay, thank you, everyone. We'll adjourn at 1:25, and we'll see you next month. Hope to see some of you at the conference in Prescott.
Thank you.
So thanks. Thanks for all your efforts to get on and get there and so forth. Bye now.
Thanks, bye.
Bye, thank you.